Yeah, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. This must. Say it again. Buscarini. All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, where you're right now.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Last night, we had the final Thursday night football contest of the season here on KOAL. It was a lot of fun bringing Thursday night football to KOAL, and it ended with the Broncos and the Colts. Now, that's a game that didn't necessarily have a lot of meaning, but at the same time, the Broncos pick up a 25-13 win, their second consecutive victory. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider on the phone. Brian, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Always great to talk, buddy. And yeah, it was a pretty interesting Thursday night football game, to say the least. The Broncos got a nice W for them, for Vance Joseph, obviously. You know, the Broncos are a team that have a lot of champions on that team, so you know they're never going to tank. So, and I think Tlaib said something like that last night. He said, "There's a lot of championship pedigree in this locker room. We're not going to go ahead and tank just because for a better draft pick. Everybody wants to win." And I'm sure that's what the Broncos organization is about as well. So, they were able to beat Indianapolis, a team that has its struggles as well, that's not really going anywhere anytime soon either. So we'll see. It was a pretty interesting matchup, to say the least, on the final Thursday night football game of the year.
As far as the Thursday night games go, I don't think they're going to be around much longer. There's too many complaints in the league. I think the players' union will do whatever they can to make sure that the Thursday night games go away. And to be honest with you, Brian, if you had asked me that a year or two ago, I would have said, yeah, I don't really care one way or the other. After this season of Thursday night football, I don't really pay attention to the amount of injuries because, look, football is a contact sport. You can get injured just as easily on Thursday as you can on Sunday. But at the same time, we had some great Thursday night football this year.
We did, and I did enjoy it. Most of the games were very entertaining. Most of the games were very high-scoring. Most of the games were very close, obviously. Not a lot of blowouts like it has been in the past. And, obviously, I think the NFL is going to continue to do it for as long as the contract requires it. But I do think at the end, we are going to go ahead and take it off. I don't think it's something that they're going to be able to keep on doing.
No, I don't either. I think here pretty quick we're going to see the end of the Thursday night games. And again, last night, the finale to the Thursday night season had very little meaning on what's happening in the NFL. But there are plenty of games this weekend, Brian, that have serious meaning. We're going to start in the NFC West. It is an NFC West championship contest. The Rams are on the road taking on the Seahawks at 2:05 here Mountain Time. Again, it's that simple. It's a division championship game. The winner of that game will win the division. It's that simple.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. This is a huge game for the young Rams. You know, in the past, they always get the better end of the matchup against the Seahawks, which is something that not a lot of NFL teams have against the Seattle Seahawks. But the Rams, with that dominating defensive line, they do get a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. And they have came out of Seattle sweeping them in the past couple years. And you know, with a much better football team, I do like the Rams' chances this weekend, Jordan. I think this is something that they can take advantage of and stamp their ticket into the playoffs, either by winning the NFC West or by outright, getting a wild card. And they have a lot of tiebreakers against a lot of the teams in the NFC, so that's something that the fans should be very excited about.
Yeah, I think it's the top game of the weekend. Again, the division championship contest. If the Rams get the win, they would essentially move two games up on Seattle. If Seattle gets the win, the Rams would still have an outside chance to win the division, but they would be tied record-wise, and Seattle would own the tiebreaker, so the Rams would have to finish out with two wins. Seattle at some point would have to lose a game. It's monumental, according to the playoff race. Now, that's not the only game, though, that has a lot of playoff meaning to it. And I want to talk about another game. It's Philadelphia at New York. Now, I would expect the Eagles to win this game, but I think the eye test is going to be very important in this contest. Right now, Philly's the top team in the NFC, but they will be with Nick Foles. And I'm not a big Nick Foles guy. And even though it's on the road against New York, a game that they should win, I think it's going to be very telling on what to expect from Philly from here on out.
It's going to be a close game. It's a divisional opponent. It's a team that, you know, they know each other very well. I mean, obviously Philadelphia is one of the best teams in the NFL, and they just lost their franchise quarterback. But at the same time, they're still one of the best teams in the NFC. Obviously, the whole NFL. But you know, it's a divisional opponent. The Giants want to show that, you know, a lot of people want to keep their jobs in New York. You know, it's not something that they want to lose. There's pride in that New York locker room. Eli Manning is a champion. Obviously, he got benched a couple weeks ago, but, you know, at the same time, he wants to beat Philadelphia. That's one of the teams that gets the better end of the stick against him. So I do think that he wants to, prove that he is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and that he will be a great starting quarterback for years to come in the NFL.
Another very important game in the NFC is Carolina, who's sitting at 9-4 right now, trying to run down New Orleans for the NFC South Division crown. They go up against Green Bay. Now, Green Bay is in a must-win situation, I think, from here on out. Things get a little bit lighter because they do have Aaron Rodgers, who has been cleared by doctors. As far as Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay, is it that simple? I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, you are playing to save the season.
Yeah, you basically are. I think the Packers are in a situation where they can't benefit from having him back, obviously, because he's one of the best football players, and he probably is the best football player in the NFL. He's the best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. I know Tom Brady's still around, but right now, I don't think there's any question that he's you know, the best quarterback in the league and the best player in the league. I mean, he elevates that team to other levels. But you know, I do feel like this team isn't going to make the playoffs. I know they still have a shot mathematically, but I think this game against Carolina is going to be really tough for them. I mean, I think, you know, obviously with him, it's tough for them to go in there and win. Obviously, we saw what they did to the Vikings, but, you know, Green Bay is obviously they have Aaron Rodgers, so anytime you have him, you want him to start for you. But, you know, I probably would have kept him off. You know, I know Rodgers wants to come back. He wants to, you know, try to get the Packers into the playoffs, win the Super Bowl, but it's going to be a tough one for them to go into Carolina and win and then rail off those three straight victories against, you know, Minnesota and Detroit as well. I think they could beat Detroit, but Minnesota's going to be tough in Lambeau at the end of the year, too.
So here it is for Green Bay. I mean, let's look at the playoff picture right now and really peg their chances of getting there, okay? They're sitting 9 right now. They have to play Detroit, who owns the tiebreaker right now on Green Bay. If they beat Detroit, they move up to 8, okay? Considering, let's say they went out. They have to play Detroit one more time. They could jump Detroit. If the Rams beat Seattle and Green Bay gets a win this weekend, they'd have the same record. Green Bay holds a tiebreaker. There's another team that they have jumped. If they beat Carolina, they would own the tiebreaker over Carolina, but Carolina, on the other hand, would have to lose one more game. The NFC South may keep Green Bay out of the postseason. That's the division to watch, because as it sits right now, Green Bay really controls their own destiny to get up to number 7. It's New Orleans, Carolina, and Atlanta. Those are the teams they got to be aware of. For them to get into the playoffs, it's still a very real possibility. They just need some help.
Exactly. I mean, the NFC South obviously is the best division in the NFL. I don't think there's any question. Except for Tampa, obviously. But the top three teams of the NFC, I mean, you could make an argument for any of those three teams to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, obviously. And, you know, two of them did the last couple years. And then the Saints won a Super Bowl a couple years ago, and they have Drew Brees. So, obviously, that's the best division in the NFL. So I do think those three teams are going to make the playoffs at the end. I don't think the Packers are going to have enough to do it at the end. It's going to be a dogfight. I think Rodgers and the Packers are obviously it's Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, there's really nothing you can say about him and his talents and, you know, what he does to elevate that team. But I just think it's a little too late for him to come back. And I think if they would have won the Pittsburgh game, they would be in full control of their own destiny. But obviously, since they lost the Pittsburgh game,
they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they win that game, they're in the playoffs. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. That game was so monumental to the current playoff picture. Again, we're being joined right now by Brian Mejia, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider. Brian, let's take a look at some of the games that are scheduled in the AFC, because again, that playoff picture's a little bit more clear, but there are some games that I'm pretty interested in. New England and Pittsburgh, outside of the Rams and Seahawks, and I say this because that's a division championship game, hard-pressed to find a better matchup. And the way things are going right now, I absolutely love Pittsburgh in this contest. To me, they are firing on all cylinders.
Most definitely. I think at this time of the year, you have to be. And especially against a team like the New England Patriots, you have to be. Obviously, the Patriots had a tough loss in Miami on Monday night. So I'm pretty sure the Pittsburgh Steelers are ready to welcome the Patriots into Pittsburgh and obviously have a chance to play them in their own stadium. That's something that I'm sure that Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger and the rest of the talented Steelers are looking forward to as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, nobody wants to play New England in the postseason. But I have to believe, and again, you go back and you look at Tom Brady's track record, if there is a team that does not need home field advantage, sure, it's probably New England. But at the same time, it means an awful lot to Pittsburgh. Feel a whole lot better playing this team at Heinz Field for the AFC crown than you would playing them at Foxborough. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Most definitely. I totally agree with you. I mean, I think that's something that the Steelers have to look at as, you know, you better come here. We don't want to go over there, even though I think Tom Brady can win anywhere, obviously, like you said. But at the same time, you want to play them in Pittsburgh. You don't want to play them in Gillette Stadium, no matter who you are.
We talked about this a little bit on Monday, and I'm going back to New England here and just how bad they really were against the Miami Dolphins. They lose 27-20, and you say, well, really? I mean, it was a one-score loss. Yeah, not really. I mean, there was a garbage-time touchdown at the end of that game. It was never really in doubt. Tom Brady was not great. He was 24 of 43 for 233 yards, touchdown, two interceptions. And the big stat, they were 0 for 11 on third downs. Now, at the beginning of the season, I did not think New England would get to the Super Bowl because I thought defensively this team has way too many question marks. They've slowly figured it out defensively. Yet, Brian, I look at where New England is at right now, and to me, they just don't strike the same amount of fear that they have in years past. I could be wrong. I know they're the Patriots, but I choose not to live off of the fact that, okay, it is Bill Belichick, it is Tom Brady. We know what they're capable of. Tom Brady's a year older. This defense is not as good. Yeah, their record looks pretty good right now. I just don't think this team is as good as they have been in years past.
I totally agree with you. But at the same time, if you look at the rest of the NFL, the rest of the NFL isn't as good either. I think there's only one team that I think I could probably just put over them, like for sure, and that was probably Philadelphia only. That's something that, you know, that Wentz injury really hurt everybody's chances in terms of, at the end, I still would favor them to going into the playoffs to get out of the AFC. And now that Wentz's injury happened, I feel like they could probably get out of the they could probably win another Super Bowl. But, you know, you're totally right. This isn't as strong as a Patriots team as there have been in the past.
No.
There's definitely a way to beat them. And you know, they don't have Edelman, obviously. Gronkowski, you know, hit or miss, obviously, with his injuries and, you know, stupid bonehead suspensions that he gets for diving on people's legs and stuff. So at the end, I really feel like the Patriots are going to be there, obviously, at the end. But, you know, maybe this is Pittsburgh's time to have a good shot at New England.
And you talk about the receiving core. They did add Kenny Britt this week, and he's coming off of a 1,000-yard receiving season with the Rams last year. He was the first Ram receiver to do that since, I think, Torrey Holt, if I remember right. So it's been a long time. Goes to Cleveland. It's been a dumpster fire of a season for the Browns, obviously. I don't know if Julio Jones or Antonio Brown would actually have a successful season in Cleveland with the way things have gone. How does Kenny Britt impact this offense this late in the season? Because I don't believe that it's the same thing as Michael Floyd. I don't think it's the same case. Michael Floyd is a physical receiver, but this is a guy that had problems off the field and was away from the game for a while as he joined New England. That's not the case with Kenny Britt. He's in game shape, but he's joining a team with only 2 weeks to play in the regular season.
Right. And, you know, Kenny, obviously, it didn't go well too well for him in Cleveland. The Rams situation was a little, you know, it ended this year, and last year, and he was able to go to Cleveland, going to Hugh Jackson, had a little drama with him, but now he's with the Patriots. I don't think he's going to be as successful with the Patriots that system is not as easy to learn as people think. Or you know, obviously Tom Brady is going to help him out, and Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, but I don't think he's going to be as successful as people think in that system. I don't think he's going to contribute as much as people want him to.
All right, Brian, you've been great on your picks throughout the season. Let's do some rapid fire. Tell me who's going to win these games.
Sure.
All right, we'll start with tomorrow's contest, because we do have two games tomorrow. We have the Bears and the Lions. No one really cares about that game, unless we have a few Lions or Bears fans out there. But again, the Lions, I guess the Lions are in playoff contention. They should win that game easily. But the afternoon game is a very, very important game. We get the Chargers and the Chiefs. That's at Arrowhead Stadium. Who wins that game?
Chargers.
You think Chargers go in and beat Kansas City?
I do. I think they're the better team.
Let's move to Sunday. We get the Rams and the Seahawks.
Rams.
You had to think about that one, because it's tough to win. It's tough to win at CenturyLink Field.
Exactly.
New England at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Big game as far as the playoff picture goes for both Dallas and Oakland. It's a Sunday night contest. We didn't talk a whole lot about this game, but it's pretty monumental for both teams if they want to remain in the playoff race. Dallas at Oakland, who gets the win?
Dallas.
There you have it. Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider. Brian, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Always fun to talk some football with you. Thank you.
Definitely, buddy. Have a good one. Thanks.
Definitely. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.